You know, we'll talk about a new start. And we really want to tie in how important baptism is. Baptism, let me make it very clear, does not save you alone. You can't just get baptized and say, I'm saved. Baptism is to confirm that you are saved. Baptism is identifying yourself, saying, I've been born again, I give my life to Christ, and I'm going in this water as a public testament that I am belong to the Lord. Now, water has always been very significant in the Bible, very spiritual. A lot of great things have happened. Roddy opened up with something this morning about water. If you think about it, the Red Sea was blocking the children of Israel. And what happened? God opened that Red Sea, and they crossed over on dry land. God used that water for their rescue. You know, we see the story of the Pool of Bethesda, where the crippled man was laying there. And the angel would stir the water, and the first one to get in would be healed. And so, of course, the paralyzed man got healed by Jesus. Water, we see Peter, who walked on the water, who was out there on a boat, and God says, come on, he's walking on the water. Water has always been a very significant part of the Word of God, and it's very spiritual, and there's something about water. Remember when Naaman had leprosy, what happened? He had to go to the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and his leprosy was healed. So not that there's any power in the water alone, of course, but water does represent the Spirit of God in many ways, in the presence of God. And so baptism is very important. I've been baptized 3 times. Baptized when I was saved as a little boy, baptized when I got married, and baptized when we started this ministry. And every time it's very meaningful and very special, because you're saying, I want to go in this water the way I am, but I'm going to come out different. What you're doing when you're going in the water, you're burying the old self and letting a new self arise. You're burying the old man and letting the new man come forth. You're saying, I don't want to continue to be the way I am. I want to change. I want to be different. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm tired of nothing working out in my life. I'm tired of all the frustration. I'm tired of all the pain. I'm tired of no joy, no peace, no direction. I'm tired of it all. And I'm ready for a new start. You know, I think we all dream sometimes, though it's not practical. And our young people think this, and they'll find out as adults this is not practical. But, I mean, it is sometimes, but not most of the time. If you've got family responsibilities, you just can't. Wouldn't it be nice to kind of spin the globe and where it lands, as long as it's not, you know, Iraq or something, wherever it lands, I'm going to go. Okay, cool. The Caribbean, I can handle that. Of course, we're cheating because we're kind of pointing to where we want to go, you know. It'd be nice just to uproot sometimes. So, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere nobody knows me and start all over again. Get a new job, start a new place, get a new house, get a new car, start a new life, make new friends. That sounds exciting, don't it? But it's really not practical for most of us. Because we got, what's that three-letter word? Well, what's that four-letter word? It's really bad. Jobs. Yeah, we got jobs. And we got responsibilities. And we got family. And we got roots. And sometimes those are harder to uproot than we realize. But what we can do is we can have a spiritual start over, at least. A spiritual makeover. To where we say, you know what? I'm not going to keep living the way I've lived. Because I'm tired of not having any joy or peace in my life. I'm tired of the broken pieces. I'm tired of the broken relationships. I'm tired of the broken promises. I'm tired. What can anything really complete me? And yes, they can. And that is God. God can complete you. God can give you exactly what you need and satisfy your hunger. But you know what? We got to first know we're hungry. We don't eat unless we're, well, we do, but typically, let's say, we don't eat unless we're hungry. Your stomach lets you know when you're hungry. It starts growling. You start feeling weak. Maybe you get flushed. You feel your sugar dropping, whatever. You know you got to eat. Something in your body signals, feed me. Well, you know what? The Spirit of God calls the same way, and He wants to feed us spiritually. Our society is changing in such drastic ways that we're seeing less and less real presence and anointing of God in our land. We're going through motions. We're going through teaching. We're going through religious works. We're going through all the stuff. But the same Holy Spirit that moved upon you so long ago is still alive and well today to move on you right now. It's not changed. The Holy Ghost hadn't took a back seat because society says, we don't want you. The Holy Ghost hadn't says, I've checked out because everybody else says, get out of my life. It's still there for those that want it. And a change is still there for those that want it. And a new heart's still there for those that really want it. But it doesn't mean that we have to do it ourselves. Here's the great thing about a new start. We have to do nothing but just give it to Jesus. God, here's my life. Help me. What's hurt people the very most is judgmental Pharisees in our generation who have pushed people out the door because of their sin. Instead of letting them come in with their sin and letting them know Jesus can take it away from them. That's the biggest problem I see, is we still have Pharisees in the land that are pointing the finger and saying, why are they allowed there? Why are they allowed to sing the way they're living? Why are they allowed to teach the way they're living? Why are they allowed to do this the way they're living? Why are they allowed to sit in the front? Why are they allowed to do this? Why? And I'm so frustrated with that. Jesus never taught that. Jesus always hung out with the ones that needed him. And apparently the Pharisees didn't need him because they kept the law so good. But not really. Pharisees, they kept they observed the outward law, but inside their hearts were wicked and evil and dark. Give me someone who's truly repentant over someone who says, I have no sin. Give me someone who's broken, in desperate need of a Savior. Someone who's living a life of hell right now, who's on the run, and who's doing nothing right morally, but at least their heart says, I know I'm not right, and I know I need to be right. Can somebody help me with that? Versus the one that says, you know what, I got it. I'm cool. So a brand new start takes no work on your end. It just means you give your life to God and say, God, help me have a brand new start. Help me start all over again, because there's a lot of stuff that has happened in our lives. The last real vacation that me and Melanie have had, we only for a few days in the fall, but the last one we really had was May of 2013, and it seems like it's been 5 years since that happened. I'm telling you, in my personal life, that vacation seems 5 years removed, not a year and a half ago. Because life can throw you a lot of stuff, and it can really make things difficult, and you find yourself, all of a sudden, I've accumulated all this stuff in my life that I've picked up day by day, week by week, month by month. I've let it just attach itself to me. And I look in the mirror and I'm not who I used to be. Or I'm not where I used to be. And maybe that's you. Life's been hard. I know Von Seals had a drastic change in her life in the last few months. Think about the last year of your life, what's transpired. Just take the last 1 year, 12 months ago, what's happened in your life the last 12 months. Things can really change quickly. So we need a new start from time to time. You got to get a new battery for your car sometimes, don't you? Even a Toyota battery don't last forever. Do they? Okay. Never had a Toyota. I'm just assuming they don't. Your battery lasts for a few years. If you're lucky, you get 4 or 5 years out of it. And then you go out there to crank it one day. And there's no warning normally. You don't crank one day. Well, maybe some cars do if you got the good cars. I don't have one of those. Your battery will die in 3.5 hours. Please replace. Don't say that. You're hurrying for work, grabbing your coffee, late for work, tripping over the dog, screaming at the kids, kissing your wife. Yep, she's dead. So you got to replace it. You can't drive the same battery all your life. Spiritually speaking, we can't always drive the same battery. We need to be recharged from time to time. And of course, church helps with that when you want it to. But a baptism can really help, because, man, you're standing in this water before God Almighty saying, I'm going down with all this junk in my life, and I'm going to come up with it out of my life and gone, because I need a fresh start. I need a rebirth. I need my engine revved up a little bit, because I'm broken and I broke down, to be honest, just broke down. And I can't even start myself anymore. I don't even know how to get started with my days. So we start over. And that's okay, we start over. There have been many millionaires that have went bankrupt and became millionaires again because they restarted. We've got to restart. Let's see what Acts 2 tells us. This is when Peter first came out of the upper room. The Holy Spirit had filled the place. He'd come out. They thought he was drunk because of the way he was talking and the way things he was saying and how bold he was. And he was just acting like he was, you know, out there. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what he tells him after he tells him about the message of Jesus being crucified, risen, he's Lord, da da da. He said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, baptism does not save you. Repentance does. Calling on the name of the Lord does. Romans 10 tells us that. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You shall be saved. So repentance is what saves us. But then he says, repent and be baptized. Why? Why is that important? You know, don't we associate ourselves wherever we are at? We identify ourselves with that. You know, gangs have colors and certain things they do together to identify who they belong to. I belong to this one because that's what I wear. It's the color that I wear. That's who I run with. And you have an identifying mark. Baptism identifies the mark of Jesus on your life. To say, you know what, it's important I'm baptized because it's important that I publicly make a stand that I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not ashamed. The Bible's clear that we should not be ashamed of the Lord or ashamed of our testimony of the Lord. So we identify ourselves by being baptized. Does it take our sins away? The baptism alone doesn't. But it does give us a brand new start. As we go down and we come back up, we feel all the stuff lift off of us that was there before. It's a powerful experience to be baptized. Even if it's more than one time, it doesn't lose its power. It's a beautiful thing. Next verse. This is 41. Then they gladly received his word. They received it. And they were baptized. And the same day there was added 3,000 souls. 3,000 people became followers of Christ. That's a pretty successful salvation rate. That would put any Baptist preacher to shame in town, wouldn't it? You know, I love how folks count salvations. Yeah, we had three saved. You know, I love that. How would you like 3,000? One time. 3,000 people saved. But here's the key. They received his word. You know what they did? They started over. They had a new start. They were lost. They didn't know who Jesus was. Didn't know how to get into his kingdom. So Peter told them. And then they said, okay, we want what you got. What do? Repent, be baptized. They heard it. They received it. They replaced their old life with a new life. They started over. They had a brand new beginning. They now were followers of Christ. These 3,000 souls, which I believe we'll all see one day, whoever they were, we'll know who they were somehow. I don't know, but we will. Can you imagine walking up and seeing, let's just say James, that's a common name. It's my name and it's a good name, so we'll just use that. And it's a name in the Bible, and it's Jesus' brother. So I walk up and James so-and-so walks up. What's your name? I'm James. I'm James too. So which generation are you from? I'm from the 80s, man. 1980s, I mean. Oh, okay, I'm from 80 AD. Oh, cool. Yeah. So did you know Peter? Yeah, I was there, man. When he come out of that upper room, I thought he had some, you know, liquor up in him, but he wasn't. Let me tell you the story. Are you ready for that? I know you've read in the book, right? But let me tell you this. He comes out there acting like he's come out of a bar, and I'm like, this dude's, what's going on? But when he started talking, something happened. I felt something. And he started telling me about this Jesus of Nazareth and how he was crucified and how he rose from the dead for my sins and how I could be with him if I just believe in him. So you know what I did? I raised my hand and says, yes, Peter, that's me. What do I do? And man, they took me down that river. Had to get the camels out of the way. They were ever drinking water, you know. But got them out of the way. They took me in. They baptized me. I came out of the water. And man, the Holy Ghost, this fire came on me I'd never felt before. And I knew I'd been changed by the power of God. I was there. So yeah, that was a real deal. I was one of the 3,000 people. You read about 1980 or 90 or 2020, whatever. I was one of 3,000 people. You'll meet the other 2,900? Yeah. I got all day. Let's roll. Think about that. Pretty cool. 3,000 people were changed because they received the word. They had a brand new start. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. This is Acts 19, 2. Chapter 19, verse 2. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they then were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, identifying themselves as a follower of Christ. It's important. There's no mistake who a Muslim follows, is there? They're pretty obvious. There's no mistake of that. There's no mistake of who other people follow by the way they live their lives and who they pledge their allegiance to. We should be so bold and so proud to say, I'm going in this water and I'm coming out and letting everyone know that I am now Christ's child. I belong to him, I'm identified with him, and I'm proud of that. It's an important part of our walk of faith. And it's an important walk of rededication if you're in a bad place. Say, I just need to be refreshed. I need a restart. I need things over my life. I've dealt with it too long. I'm at a breaking point. What else can fix me? Nothing can. People are seeking so many ways to find their escape from life's problems, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be sex, you know, whatever it is that we try to divulge ourselves over into to escape the reality of life. But if you have Jesus, the reality of life is pretty good. Because you have a promise, you're never going to die. As Rodney clearly said, we should have no fear if we're in Jesus. He's got us, church. You don't think his eye, if his eye's on a sparrow, I'm a little bigger than a sparrow. I think he can see me. If his eye's on all creation, it's on me too. His eyes on us. He's going to keep us. He's going to love us. He's going to preserve us. Identify yourself and say, you know what? I'm proud that Jesus is my Lord. That Jesus is my God. That Jesus is my Savior. I'm proud of that. And I'm not ashamed. There's so many people that, see, if you ever really get a hold of Jesus, you ever really get a hold of him, oh, you'll be passionate about him. That you'll be so strong in your faith that nothing will shake you. I'm in God, and he's in me. We're one. And I've got a tomorrow that outweighs any tomorrow you could ever present to me because of what Christ did. We went and seen a play last night, me and Melanie. Her uncle's church is really good. I looked all over heaven for you, and it was a very powerful play. And it was very meaningful to see the people coming down the aisles, and some were rejected, some were accepted. It depends on if their name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as we know, I've preached this long enough for y'all to know, our name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life because we do things right and we live right. It's because of the grace of Jesus that saved us. We can't work our way into that book of life. Jesus worked it for us. And so we just simply say, thank you, Jesus. You paid the price. You're free to go. You're innocent. Wow. What a feeling to know that we're innocent in God's eyes if we're covered by the blood. No matter what sins we have done, no matter how much we've rebelled, no matter what words we have used, no matter who we have hurt, what we have done, when we say, Jesus, forgive me, with a true heart, it's all forgotten. That's grace. There are people that won't forgive you like God forgives you. There are people, and some of you I know are here. Some of you talk to me. There are some of you I know that you won't forgive somebody if they put a gun to your head. I ain't forgiving you. What a shame. Where's the love of God in you? What if God hadn't forgiven you? What if God says, well, I forgive that, I don't forgive that. I'll forgive the alcoholic, but not the drug addict. I'll forgive the adulterer, but not the homosexual. I'll forgive the one that watched a little porn, but not the one that beats their wife. Yeah, I'm gonna make some adjustments here. Carrie, you're right. You're going down. You know, you're on the border. Like, you wait here. I gotta have a little huddle. You know, Omaha. We gotta have a little huddle. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Yeah. You gotta know football. Know what I meant by that. So we have a little huddle. See if Amanda makes it in or not. Thank God he just says, you know what? I forgive you, period. Of all sins, the Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, the adulterer, the homosexual, the murderer, the rapist, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pass for everlasting life. We have that promise. Actually, I mixed two verses there. I'm sorry about that. For God so the world gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish at everlasting life. I was mixing Romans and John there, sorry. But they both, you get the message. Whosoever calls upon him shall be saved. He gave Jesus for the world. He's waiting for you. People say, well, if God just ain't God just, you know, do that. God just do that. No, God did what he's going to do. He's done it. He's done all he can do. Now it's us to say, do I respond to his love or do I reject his love? Do I call out to him or do I say he don't exist? When that spirit calls you, it's very important. I'm a firm believer in this. Salvation is not a head decision. You can't be saved unless you're feeling God draw you and speak to you. But many people feel that draw and feel that call and they reject it. They don't want it. They drop their head. They close their eyes. They want to get out of here. I don't want that conviction. You know, people don't like conviction because it stirs up all the junk that's wrong with us. And there's a lot of stuff wrong with a lot of us. All of us, there is. Including me. There's stuff wrong. And what conviction does, it brings the surface and brings it into light that it can clearly be seen. And then we see, here's how you really get the revelation of grace. Your life's brought before the light of God. And you see yourself as how you really are. Bad. Okay? Bad. Then all of a sudden, God speaks to you and says, but I'm here to forgive you. And you look in the mirror and say, God, you can never forgive what I'm looking in the mirror at. You can never, ever forgive what I've done. Then all of a sudden, he does. And he comes into your life, and you're forgiven. And you feel that weight lift off, and then you're on your way to heaven with all the stuff that you've done before. See, when conviction brings the light upon your badness, it's only then you can really see God's goodness. See, people can't see God's goodness when they think they're good. And I hear people say this. Some of y'all have said this. You know, I'm a good person. I treat people right. I do what's right. So? I mean, there's burglars that tiptoe in your house not to wake you up. They're pretty polite. Shh, don't wake them up. They're sleeping. They got a long day at work tomorrow. Shh. I mean, it's because you're polite. Don't mean nothing. You got to be born again. See, until we can admit, and a lot of human beings have a hard time with this. In our core, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, including your lovable, awesome, handsome pastor this morning, even he has the natural tendency to want to do bad in the natural. In the natural. It's a lot easier to sin than it is not to sin. You get mad and frustrated. You get upset. All of a sudden you feel that nature coming out, that ugly nature. This guy would let me have an interstate yesterday. It's a Yankee guy. I know it was. No offense, Northerners. Had a Florida tag, but he looked like a Yankee in the car. I just tell. He went by me. I was trying to get over. There was nobody behind him. I'm like, man, get over. And I had to go to the mercy lane. And finally got over. And he had audacity when he got around me. I see him in the rearview mirror shaking his head at me. So that godly nature in me rises up. I go around him, you know. He came back around me. Back around me. That went on for a little bit, you know. Your godly pastor. I wasn't speeding, though. Your godly pastor. It's easy for that bad nature to come out. I mean, what happened to the loving preacher? And that is nothing. The guy would let me over, big deal, right? In the scheme of life, what's a big deal? But man, that fired me up. And we get so upset about the stupidest stuff, don't we? Because the devil's always working, trying to get us stirred up over nothing. I mean, my last thing was to look at Melanie and say, bless his heart, let's pray for him. Melanie's like, yeah, we need to pray for him. If you do something to him, Lord, protect him. Yes, he did. See, we both had a spirit. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I didn't stare in at him. I kind of went around, but I didn't stare at him. A lot of times I did the stare down. I didn't do that this time. I was pretty good. But the whole point of that is that we, by nature, are bad. And even the best Christian can be bad. Your children grow up being bad unless you teach them good. And sometimes they're still bad. But if you don't teach them good, they'll have no chance of being good. So when your children are little, you see the sin come out. You know, we love our little kids, little Mavericks. You know, so adorable. We love them, all right? We love little Tay. But there's probably times Tay don't always act holy. There are times Tay might pitch a fit. No. Rah. What's that about? That's sin. That's that old nature. So we all have it. We all fight against it. And sometimes we just need a new start. You know, I've become somebody. Have you become somebody you don't even recognize sometimes? You're like, where did this person come from? Where's the old me at? We need to start over. Some of us have done things we never thought we would do or say things we never thought we would say or be in a place we never thought we'd be in. It don't mean it's the end of the world. It just means we need to restart. Start over. And tonight's a perfect chance to just start over and say, I'm going to clean the slate. I'm going to, because we only, and the reason I'm pressing this today is we only have usually one baptism a year. We do an annual baptism. So I want to make sure that if you want to do that, tonight's your night to do this. To say, I want to just restart, revamp, wash the slate clean. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to still have a lot of problems. But you know what? God will take a lot of that weight off of you. Say, you know what? I just feel better. I feel different. It accumulates. Go to the next scripture. This is chapter 22, verse 16. Now, he's talking to the, this is when Paul first got, he got blinded. He's telling his story about how he got healed, how his eyes got healed, and how the Holy Ghost, you know, filled him and all that. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As we call on the name of the Lord, he washes away our sins. Once again, baptism was important here. It's noted throughout the book of Acts and other places in the Bible of baptism being, Jesus himself got baptized. It's important. It's important because it's kind of like going all the way, so to speak. You know, it's the next step of kind of going all the way. So we get saved, that's wonderful. That's what the main thing is. But then we've never gotten baptized, and we're like, well, I've gotten saved, but I've never really, well, do I need that? It's an important step to say, yes, I really want to do this to be identified with Christ. I want to publicly let the world know who I'm getting baptized for. It's for Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that. Very important step. One more scripture in Romans. This is verse chapter 6 of Romans, verse 3 and 4. This is the part, I love these two verses. This is what we've been talking about all morning. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now let's talk about that just a minute. Jesus went to the cross with our sins. He died for all of our sins. It's a dark day for Jesus when he died. He didn't want to do it. He's mounted up on his big old cross in front of everybody in the world watching him, stripped of all his dignity and royalty. It was a terrible way to die, crucifixion. It was painful, so painful. But when he died, the first step of our salvation was the death of Jesus. He died with our sins upon him, our sins upon him. But he rose with our righteousness forever. In other words, Jesus didn't come out of the grave the same way he went to the cross. There was a drastic change. Picture on the cross, bloody, beaten, mangled, just, you know, tattered and torn. A piece of just beef steak hanging there on the cross. But when he came out of the tomb, how did he look? I mean, he wasn't there, but what does the Bible say? He wasn't beat, bloody and beaten no more. He was glorified. He was completely a different image than what we saw on the cross. Which is the indicator to us that when we give our hearts to Jesus, he transforms our lives. That we're not the same person we used to be. That there's a change. There's a real change in our lives. So here he is. He says, I was buried in death. Oh, this is the next verse. So go back. Can you go back to verse 3 a minute? I'm going to read that again, Jeremy. Then we'll go back to verse 4. Know ye that so many that were baptized into Jesus Christ, if you're baptized tonight, you're being baptized into his death, meaning that all your junk is being buried and staying right there. Then, next verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's a newness of life that comes when we come out of that water. We leave the old junk behind, the old stuff, the old way, the old life, the old past. All that stays there. Who we used to be stays in that water. It's there buried. And we come out, we leave it there, and we come out a brand new creation in Christ. All things have become new. You can start over again. It just takes a step of saying, Lord, help me. Help me start over. I've accumulated a lot of miles I'm not proud of. Tore a lot of tread up. Wish I could go back and change things, and I can't. But I can move forward today and take the next step forward for my life. And I can become, God, what you call me to be. I'm not putting it off no more. This is my time. This is my day for a new start. That I'll remember this day. When I come out of this water, it's going to change my life. Doesn't mean we're going to walk the perfect line. It just means we got a fresh start. We got a resurrection power again. We just, something happened in our lives that just gives us a jolt that we need, because we carry a lot in our lives and a lot of stuff happens. And I'm talking about a lot of stuff to Christians happen. Christians go through the same things that non-Christians go through. We go through marriage problems, and we go through children problems. We go through health problems. We go through money problems. We go through things in our relationships that strain us and pull us and strain us, and they just beat us up. If we're not careful, we start losing what we had one time with God. We start losing that sensitivity or that power or that joy or that peace or that anointing that we used to walk in. Get it back today. You have a chance tonight to get it back, to walk in that water, because that water tonight is not going to be a pool. It's going to be a anointing of the Lord place. We'll get in tonight. I'll pray over the waters, that God anoints the waters and blesses them for his purpose and his glory tonight. That everyone that steps in will feel his hand upon their lives. That we go down and we come up. Wow, I can start again. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Don't keep carrying what you've been carrying. Let God take it off of you. You know, in my own life, church, there's many challenges. And as the pastor of this church, you don't hear about that. You shouldn't. I'm the pastor. My job is to feed and to lead the church. But there are a lot of things in my own personal life that weigh me down. A lot of struggles that I personally had the past few years of my life. A lot of things that nobody knows about, would never dream about. And we just keep going, and we keep clicking, and I keep trying to be the pastor God's called me to be. So I'm here to tell you, I know what it's like to carry weight that you just can't keep carrying. I know what it's like to get to a breaking point to where you just want to just give it all up. I've been there, and I know. I know what it's like to be miserable in my life. I know what it's like to wake up with no joy and go to bed with no peace. I know what that's like. I've been there many times. I know what it's like to be a father, to worry about your children so much that it consumes every thought of your day, consumes every ounce of your peace, of worrying about your kids. How are they going to be? Are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Are they going to be okay? The burden of being a husband, even. Am I the right husband? Am I doing what I need to by Melanie? There's a lot of weight that I personally carry, and I know how the years can creep up on us and just nick us and nick us and nick us, and we find ourselves all of a sudden like battered. We're like, how did I get here? How am I so battered? What happened? Storms of life. We've got a lot of young people here this morning, our young generation, our teenagers, our 20-somethings. So confused. So confused. Because they're hearing messages from people they put credit into they shouldn't be putting credit into. This word of God is all the credit I need. It's what I live by. I don't have to see Jesus stand before me to know he's alive and well. I mean, many young people quote dead people all the time. They quote things dead people said. Well, we can't believe what God's word says. He's alive. He's not even dead. He's alive. And my heart goes out to the next generation. My heart goes out to the church world and what's happening in our church generation. All the church doors are closing right now because people have itching ears. And they're going to go somewhere where there's no conviction. They're going to go somewhere where the preacher's not talking about sin. Or they go somewhere where they can live like they want with no consequence. They can go where all they hear is God loves you just like you are. Yes, he does. He does love you like you are. But it doesn't mean you're going to be with him forever like you are. That's the difference. It's like I love all these kids here. I love all these young people, but not like my kids. I said this a few weeks ago. I mean, you know, Abby and Ashley's playing in front of a car. They're about to get hit, and I got to make a decision. Are you saved, Abby? Good. Push Ashley out of the way. I mean, you know, you're going to go after your kid. That's human nature. To go after your child because you love them. They're yours. All these kids aren't mine. Thank God. They're not mine. Only three of them are. I'm not like some of you men on Father's Day. I know I only got three. There ain't no doubt. I've only got three. There's one fire way of knowing that truth, and I know that truth. One Father's Day friend, I had fathers up here. We're going about, how many kids you got? You know, three, four, two. One of them said, four, well, that I know of, I think. I'm like, oh, my God. So we stopped asking that question on Father's Day. We just skipped that. But you're broken. You need repair. You need help. You need a new start. Today's the day to do that. I want to encourage you to come out this evening to our baptism. And even if you're just contemplating, even if you're not sure, but you're like, well, maybe, just come on out because we want to have the church support the ones that are getting baptized. And come out prepared to say, I need to get in that water again too because I've got a lot of junk I've got to wash off of me. I'm in a really bad place and I need to be restored. No power in the water, but there's power in the name. And there's power in that obedience. See, obedience is everything. And even Jesus, the Word of God says that, says, you know, give me obedience rather than sacrifice. Obedience. Will you obey and say, God, I'm going to step in by faith in front of all these people. And here's the deal, I think. Here's what people have a problem with, I think. Is we don't want people knowing our business, which I understand that. But we think that when we come to the altar, we go, you know, we make any kind of, you know, way toward God that people are thinking, man, what are they doing? What are they doing? And maybe some of you are doing it. If you are, shame, shame, shame on you. But that don't even matter. Because all of us are broken. If y'all knew me and Melanie's personal lives, y'all would pray for us. I mean, really pray for us. You know, you see us, the smiling face, hopefully the encouraging preacher and wife and the ones that love you, and we do. But once again, I got my own family. I got my own bills. I got my own issues. I got my own battles. So does Melanie. So do our children. And so we all have stuff that we carry. So don't be ashamed of ever making a way toward God thinking people are going to think I'm a bad person. No, we got stuff we're carrying. I'm always so honored when I see folks come to the altar is not ashamed to kneel down in front of the altar, in front of people, and just cry out to God. That's such a heart of humility. It's such an open transparency that God just honors. Because every one of us, really, every Sunday, every one of us probably should be at the altar for something. Shouldn't we? For something. And if we think we've had a pretty good week and don't need it, then really think harder again. I'm not like that one guy I talked to. I'm not went 7 days without sinning. I talked to a guy that one time said that. So I've been 7 days without sinning. Wow. Pretty cool. But you're sinning now because you're lying. So you blew it right here. You went 7 days without sinning. Okay. Sure. We can't go 7 minutes without sinning. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, from everything, if you really think about it. So if you're broken and you need Jesus, today can be your day. The service will be short tonight. It won't last long. It'll be over an hour or less, probably less than an hour. But come out tonight if you want to get either baptized for the first time and you're, now, let me explain this. You must, to be baptized, must be born again, must be saved. It doesn't save you alone. You must call on the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be saved. Save me. Come to my heart. You do that, receive him, you get baptized. Maybe you need to be rebaptized, like Connie was talking about. I need to be rebaptized. I'm tired. I just need a fresh start. Come do that. Come do it. It's a very powerful thing.